Good morning. All right, how's everybody today? Still a good-looking crowd for it being vacation season, and still got a decent amount of people showing out. It's good to see everybody that wanted to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm going to get us opened up, and what he laid on me today for a call to worship, the best way to get into it is his word. So he gave me some scriptures, and I'm just going to read them out for you. Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him, his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 104. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Psalms 145 and 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the first of the lip that acknowledges his name. Praise him no matter what season or circumstance you're in, is what Hebrews is trying to tell you from that scripture. Acts 16:25 to 26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And we see in Luke chapter 19, toward the end, verses 39 and 40, the Pharisees come to him and ask him to calm the people down. Tell them to be quiet. And he says, if they are quiet, the very rocks will cry out for my name.
Yeah.
Because he is great and he is worthy of our praise. And he is in our presence this day already. He dwells within us and he is here for you. He is worthy of all the praise and all the honor we can give
Amen.
Him. And I'm inviting you today to stand with us as our choir comes.
Amen.
And we're going to get into the presence of God today.
Welcome.
Went on down the hill. He took back every key. the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King.
If you walked out of the grave, I would walk into. If you walked out of the grave, I would walk into. Oh,
worthy of all blessings and You turn morning to dancing. Come on, Charlie, come up here, and let's anoint him and pray for him. He's got something going on that they don't even know what it's from. So can we just, every believer, come up here and let's pray for him that they can fix this.
How many of you believe God is a prayer answering God? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we worship you, God. Magnify your holy name. Lord, we thank you, Father, and praise you, God. Magnify your holy name, oh God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Father, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we worship you, God, and magnify your holy name, God. Lord, we thank you, Father. God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. God, magnify your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Take a moment or two here and worship the Lord, if we would. Just raise your hands and let's worship Him for His word and His manifestation this morning. Father, we're so grateful, God. So thankful, Lord. God, that You, Father, can speak to those that are around You, God. We thank You, Father, and praise You, God. Magnify You for Your holy name, God. The way, Lord, that is so far above ours. Father, we thank You, Lord, and praise You. Magnify Your holy name. Praise Your name. Be praised. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God, thank You, Lord. Word of the Lord came and said that there's people that are breaking but not broken. That's who He's talking to this morning. I wonder if we could just stand again where we're at just one more time. Let's worship the Lord for a few more minutes and allow Him to do whatever He needs to do, as long as you'll yield. But you have to yield now. You can't wait. I feel like sometimes we string the Lord along, and I don't know, not as a whole. I believe He's pleased. But whoever it is that needs to come quickly. Father, we thank You, Lord, and praise You, God. Magnify Your holy name. God, we glorify You, God. Magnify You. Put You above all, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank You, God. We thank You, Father, and praise You, God. Lord, magnify Your holy name. Lord.
Jesus,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm.
Thank you, Lord.
Stir within my soul.
Thank you.
Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Jesus,
you,
breathe
thank
with
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Thank you, Lord.
In me.
Thank you, Lord.
Like a mighty storm. Stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
I surrender. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody that would extend your hand this way, and let's pray for Tommy's brother Marvin. Tommy's requesting that the Lord allow this spirit that's here to go and convict Marvin, and that he would accept the Lord as Savior of his life. And I believe that when someone's lost like that, that's exactly what it means, is they're lost. They don't know where they are. But I believe God's able to touch his heart and to speak to him even this morning and be able to allow him to know that. At least make him an offer, right? To make the Lord of his life. So everybody would just extend your hand this way and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Lord, as we lay hands on Brother Tommy, God, on behalf of his brother Marvin, Father, we ask, God, that you would touch and minister and move, God, Lord. That you would convict, oh God, Lord. That you would just open his eyes, God, and let him know, Lord, that he's lost and that you're as close as the whisper of your name on his lips. Father, we thank you, Lord, and praise you. Lord, allow that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God's able. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 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 Flow from his throne. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. White as the ocean, deep as the sea. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you know God is good? Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and appreciation? Amen. Amen. It's amazing to me. No matter what it is that we ask, no matter what it is that we need this morning, whether it's the Lord's Spirit to go and to convict somebody, whether it's the Lord's Spirit to renew us, whether it's the Lord's Spirit to allow us to have comfort during a time of tribulation, God's power and Spirit's able to move in any direction that we need, and that's the kind of God that we serve. And not to make light of that in any way, but at the same time to try to draw an analogy of that, there's a reason people shop at Walmart, and it's so they can stop in there and get anything they need. Everything that they need is in one place, and I'm so thankful that the house of the Lord is like a one-stop shop for anything that you need. The Lord is able to minister and move through those things and able to meet those needs. And it'd be hard to find somebody that would treat you better than the Lord. Amen? Amen. Give him another hand clap of praise and appreciation. Amen. God is so good, and I want to move into the Word here. I do feel like even the revelation that was given this morning sort of speaks to this, and we're going to receive your tithe and offering here after the message, but I just feel led to get into the Word of the Lord this morning. The idea that the Lord is calling, and many feel like they're breaking but not yet broken, sort of directly reflects on what we're going to talk about this morning, because I think we've all felt that at times in our lives, and a lot of times we feel that way because we as humans, I think, seek out and we desire security. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think everybody wants to feel secure. Everybody wants to feel like they're okay. That's the reason we live in a world where we buy insurance for this. Right? I mean, we got it so bad, we buy a phone, we'll buy insurance for that phone. Just in case that phone gets tore up or something else. It's like we buy insurance for everything. You know, you can order a $30 item on Amazon now, and they'll ask you, do you want this protection plan for two years or whatever? And Kelly will be ordering something, and she'll say, you want this protection plan? I said, no. Because if it don't last more than 2 years, I don't want them to replace it. I'll just buy a new one anyway, right? But we live in a society where that we try to make sure that everything's taken care of. We got life insurance policies. Nothing wrong with that. We got 401ks. Nothing wrong with that. We seek that stability and that security, and that's human and that's right, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, I need you to realize that as best we can do as humans here, whether it's with your insurance policy or your 401k or what you try to secure or stabilize in your life, I need you to understand that really the only way that we can be unshakable this morning is by and through the blood of Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. So I want to talk to you about that a little bit this morning as we go here. How many of you would consider yourself, and I'm going to start here because it's been speaking to me this week. I'm in this frame of mind. I won't go into it with you, but I'm in this frame of mind of trying to control things in the future and everything else, and that's just the way that I am. A confession here, I'm a worrier by nature. It's just what I do. As a matter of fact, I think I may have mentioned this, not sure. Ted asked the icebreaker about heaven, what's it mean to you? And I, you know what my answer was? And I was like, you know, I just want to know that everybody that I love and things of that nature is in one place and they're safe, and I don't have to check my phone to see if Emily and Micah got where they're going, or I don't have to worry about Kelly's safety anymore, because by nature, I'm somebody that tries to protect them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, always worrying. And so you sort of get consumed with that, and you try to control too much, even the future. And so I'm admitting to being a control freak, and I'm curious Do I have anybody who would testify with me that you indeed are a control freak? Come on, don't be ashamed. Like you like to, we got marriage counseling going on here. We got Ray shoving Martha's hand up in the air over here, so I don't know what that means, but she sort of fought him but didn't, so I don't know. You know the biggest problem with being a control freak? You try to control everything. That's the only drawback to being a control freak is you try to control everything. But you know the problem with trying to control everything? You can't control everything. Are y'all with me? And the biggest problem with not being able to control everything is you worry about everything because you can't control it. And there's many in here. I know we had one to respond this morning. I thought, man, she's exactly where she needs to be when she feels anxiety, when you feel nervousness and all those other things, because I want to talk to you a little bit about being unshakable in an uncertain world here. And a lot of times in all that we do, in all that we try to do, we try to find that security, and yet the Bible tells us that security, that being unshakable, isn't about controlling the outside. It isn't about controlling circumstances. It's about allowing God to give you peace inside. I remember there was a contest, and I don't know if this is a true story or not. It's just a story, sort of an illustration that I read one time, that a king sort of, I think it was a king or a rich man or something, had this thing going on that he wanted a picture that presented true peace. And if they, whoever, you know, every artist could give their rendition of what, you know, to them represented true peace, and he would give so much money to the one and hang it up on his wall that you know, best illustrated peace to him. And everybody brings in pictures of rivers and streams and lakes and the things we think about a peace. And then there was one painting that was there, and it was a rainstorm, and the trees were almost laying over, and you could just tell that there was so much going on, rain coming down. And that one was the one that won the contest, because when you looked a little bit closer, you could see a bird's nest back in like a little cubby hole in the rock cliff, and that bird was in there, and he was at peace. Even though everything else was chaotic, that artist was smart enough and wise enough to realize that if you want true peace, it's never going to come by controlling circumstances that are outside of your control. It's going to be by that peace that lies on the inside of you. And the only way that you obtain that is through Christ. Tim Keller, I love Tim Keller. Don't agree with everything he believes theologically, but I believe he was a wise man. He said this: modern secular culture treats suffering as an interruption to an otherwise happy life. When suffering hits, the secular worldview cracks because it relies on external circumstances staying stable. In other words, the things that are around you will never be stable enough to give you true security and peace. So the question comes, where does that come from? What's that look like? How do we sort of combat that? And what goes on in our daily lives? And I believe there's four areas here, and I'm going to run through these really, really fast so the Lord can minister if we respond. Is internal security. Peace when your mind's racing about everything else. In other words, there's the what-if scenarios that sort of paralyze you. And Paul writes, while he's chained to a Roman guard, facing the real possibility of execution here, and he writes to the Philippian church, and in the middle of all that, he's trying to help this church that's facing both an external persecution and internal division. In other words, the world wants to destroy the church of the Philippians, and even within themselves, they're fighting. And Paul himself is chained to a Roman soldier, and still under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he writes to them, and this is what he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And I need you to understand one thing here, and we're going to move on. That word for guard literally meant to be stationed within the confines of a military inhabited city that made sure that it was policed 24 hours a day. And this is one of the things about learning about the city that the author is writing to. I need you to understand that this city was under guard, was constantly patrolled by the nation or by the empire of Rome. And so 24 hours a day, when they laid down to go to sleep, they could hear the marchings of the soldiers around the city. And it didn't irritate them. It made them feel safe and secure. It's almost like when you set your alarm, if you got an ADT or whatever, that's another case of we want to control everything and make sure we're safe. We got nothing wrong with an alarm system, right? You set that thing and you go to sleep knowing that if somebody tries to intrude on you, that alarm's going to go off and you're going to be awakened, and that's your sense of security. I got one of those, but we call him Rocky. He's a dog. He lays in the foot of our bed there. And Rocky's a good watchdog in this. He'll bark. Don't expect him to move. Am I lying? Somebody will be coming upstairs. They'll be getting ready to come in the front door, and he's laying on the ottoman or something in the living room, and he'll go, "Ruh! Ruh!" He don't offer to get up and go see who it is. The best he can do is give you an alarm, but at least he's giving you an alarm, right? Makes you feel safe, makes you know that, hey, there's somebody else that's on patrol. And that's what Paul is telling the Philippian church here, is you don't have to be anxious about things. You don't have to be nervous about things. You can have peace that passes all understanding, because just as your city is patrolled by the military to keep you safe, the Holy Spirit is patrolling your life and keeping your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And you can have peace knowing that there's always somebody on patrol when it comes to your soul. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So many times we allow other things to sort of get in there and steal our internal peace. And I need you to understand, this ain't a trick of thinking positive, right? It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that comes and he quietens that internal rebellion that's going on the inside of you. It's one of those things that when anxiety strikes, it's not just about thinking positive. It's about thinking about the Lord and fixing your focus on the character of God and knowing that he will keep you in all ways. Even, number two, when your world is shaking. You see, it's easy to have faith and it's easy to enjoy peace when everything is good in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're a worry worked like I am, if you, even when things are good, you worry about when things are bad. Some of you may be able to testify to what I'm talking about. Kelly will even tell me sometimes. It's like you can't be satisfied, can't be happy, you can't just be joyful and enjoy the moment because you're constantly thinking about the what ifs. I'm not telling you that's right. I'm just telling you that some of us were just sort of born with that curse, I guess. It's almost like the Achilles heel that you got to attend to. Some of you have heard me tell this story. Some of you have not. When I was a young child, I was raised by my grandfather and grandmother. I had a dream one night that my grandmother, who at the time was probably one of the closest people to me, had died. I went to her room crying. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I had a dream that you died. And it's worrying me. I had a dream that you died." You know what my grandmother said to me? "Worrying is a sin." And every time I tell this, I always say this statement. She could have wrapped her arms around me, Ray, and said, "Oh, don't worry, honey, I'll be here in the morning." But she couldn't make that promise, and she knew she couldn't make that promise. And so she said, "Worrying's a sin. You don't need to worry. I may die tonight. God's still in control." I learned from an early age that I was somebody who would worry, but I also learned that you need to allow God to take things off of your plate so you can have peace that passes all understanding. I'm just not real good at it yet. And I don't believe many of us have made that place to be able to rest in the Lord. Like David said in Psalms chapter 4, verse 8, he said, "In peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will make me to dwell in safety." You need to understand what David's declaring here. David's not talking about a passive drowsiness that takes place. He's not talking about, "I need to go to sleep and I'm wore out and I'm just going to put my trust in the Lord." He's saying this. He's sort of declaring against the war that's going on in his mind, "I'm not going to worry about this." David was worried, but he made the declaration, "I refuse to worry about this. I will lay down and I will go to sleep because the Lord alone is the one who protects me." Sometimes you've got to declare those things. Sometimes you've got to understand, as David said, he didn't say, "I got my guys out here watching over me." He said this, "Alone, you alone make me dwell in safety." He understood that safety was nowhere found in armies or politics or anything else, but the only safety that he could truly find was in the Lord. So that true rest means letting go of the steering wheel. That's hard. It's hard for me. I know it's hard for some of you. There's another sticky point here that a lot of times will bring turmoil into our lives and sort of make us nervous, maybe more so than what we should be. Do you know that a lot of times that comes from people? That can make you anxious. Relationships can sort of tear your nerves up, if you will. All right? Paul writes to the Roman church about this right in the middle of it because he knows there's a big controversy between Jewish people and Greek people inside the church at Rome. And you know what he says? "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And I love the honesty here of Paul when he says, "if possible." So he's saying, "I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. Because you can't force someone else to forgive you. You can't force someone else to do what is right." He's saying all you can do is within yourself, do what you can, have peace with yourself. And that peace that you have with yourself and with God comes out into your relationships. You can't make others love you back, but certainly you can control what goes on in here. You see, holiness moves past peacekeeping. And if you don't hear anything else when it comes to relationships today, I need you to hear what I'm going to say here. This goes beyond peacekeeping and talks about peacemaking. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9 ESV says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Holiness is not about just peacekeeping. It's peacemaking. You see, peacekeeping, you know what it does? It sweeps stuff under the rug. That's what it does. And that works fine until it gets so big and somebody trips over the stuff that's been swept under the rug. You know what peacemaking does? It throws the rug back, takes a broom and a dustpan, and it gets all that junk out of the way, because you're not just keeping peace, you're making peace because you're resolving things with that person so you can have peace, so they can have peace, so you can lay down and you can absorb that offense rather than passing it on. When you don't have peace within yourself and someone offends you, you know what you do? You pass it on to somebody else. Hurting people hurt other people. Let's just be honest. How many of you have lashed out and hurt somebody else because you were hurt at the time? You get aggravated with somebody else because somebody else aggravated you. And somebody has offended you, you're in offense, and so you choose to pass that offense to the next person instead of just absorbing it. You know why? Because you want some kind of validation. You need to understand that your peace is going to come from God. Absorb that offense. Don't worry about human approval and allow God to do what he needs to do. And then the ultimate security is the anchor for our soul. Paul, writing to the same church at Rome, when they're staring down execution and lions and swords and all those other things that he mentions in verse 35, He says this in verse 38 and 39. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, our security is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's as though Jesus has His hand in the Father's hand, and we have our hand in His hand. And it's a double guarantee, a double promise that says, no man can pluck you out of my hand. And I love the idea that it's up to us, that we have the ability to be able to control that, because I'm a control freak. I love the fact that God gives me the ability, Pat, that if I want peace, it's up to me. It's not up to anybody else, but it's up to me. And that's how He allows me to be in control of that thing. Christianity's got to be the only thing that I know of that you find hope in when you toss your anchor outside of yourself, outside of your boat, into something else. Everything else in the world tells you, if you want security here, you do this. If you want security here, you do that. But Christianity, the Scripture makes it plain that if we're going to have true security, the anchor can't be found in this boat, but we've got to take the anchor and lodge it into something else that's greater, and that is the fact that God's Word never changes, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not a man that He should lie, but the promises of God are yea and amen, and that you can take the Scripture, you can take the Word of God, and you can lay down at night and know that if nothing else happens, whatever happens tomorrow, God has got you in the palm of His hand. Give Him a hand clap of praise. So He says, bring everything to God in prayer. Stand with me if you would. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says this. Said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. I don't know how many of you do this. Maybe if your work depends on it, or maybe if you're going on vacation. Maybe if you're just one of those people. Now listen, I worry about a lot of things, but I can honestly say that weather is not one of them. Right? Like I know a lot of people do. Buffalo Creek, things of that nature. If you went through the flood, I get all that. I'll never understand why there's a Weather Channel. Pearl must be a Weather Channel person. Her mouth just hit the floor when I said. But at the same time, I can sit up here and talk about the History Channel, and some of y'all go, I don't know why they put a History Channel on there. It just don't interest you, right? It's beyond me why they would put a Weather Channel on television. But you know why? Because some people constantly watch that weather because they want to know what's going on. And you know what we've done? Whether it's the weather, whether it's the insurances we buy, the world has tricked us into believing that predictability is security. We watch the weather report, and I hope you get that. If you didn't get it now, I hope you get it later today. We think predictability means security. We look at the Weather Channel and go, it's not supposed to rain today, so we don't have to take our umbrella. How many of you know that sometimes when they say it's not going to rain, it rains? Y'all with me? Wintertime, everybody talks about snow. I say that's why they call it weather. They don't know whether it's going to snow, whether it's going to rain. That's why it's called weather. They really have no idea. They're doing their best to guess. And you know what they do? They make us feel secure because we can look into the future and see the weather. Listen, insurance policies. Anything that allows you to feel like you've got a hold on the future, it's just masking something. That's not control. That's just predicting things. As I said, I worry about a lot of things. Weather is not one of them. But I don't understand why there's a weather channel, but there's people that watch the weather because it worries them. Some people would say, I don't know why you worry about your children the way you do. Why don't you just pray and put them in the hands of the Lord? Maybe I need a channel for that. What I'm telling you is everybody's got their struggle. And if we're not careful, we'll allow this world to sell us something that says predictability is security. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what they predict, what anybody predicts in the stock market or in your life or anything else. That's the reason these 1-800, let me read your palm and all those other things and your future and the horoscopes and all those things that I believe are nothing but anti-Christianity things. I believe that they're wrong because they're trying to predict the future and trying to make you feel good, trying to make you understand that you know what the future is, when really the only one who holds tomorrow is God. The toughest thing about tomorrow for me is I can't control it. I don't know why. We was talking about vacation back there and traveling. Kim made the statement. She said, oh, well, you don't like to fly, do you? I said, no, I don't. And I know the odds. Save it. Don't try to make me feel better about it. Oh, it's 11 million to 1 opposed to dying in a car. But if I'm in a car, I'm in control. That's the way I feel about it. When I'm in an airplane and we hit an air pocket, you know what I want to do? Hit the brake, grab the thing or something. Because I want to be in control. That's the reason I don't like flying. It's not the hassle. It's I'm not in control. I'm going to tell you something. We're on a flight this morning. You're not the pilot. But ain't it good to know that the flight that really matters, our pilot has never let a plane go down. And somebody testify with me that he knows everything that's going to happen. Listen, it's not predictability. He actually knows the future because he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He knows the end from the beginning, and he needs you to understand that everything is working towards your good. You can lay down at night and have peace that passes all understanding. I wonder if you'd raise your hands with me this morning right where you're at. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, for your manifestation, for your word, Lord, that comes, testifies, and lets us know, God, that you're the one, the only one that can give peace that passes all understanding. And while we're in a congregation of so many that deal with so many things, confronted with so many unsettling things in a day, God, we know, Lord, that you're the one. You're the one that can whisper peace to us when nobody else can. We're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, because you said in this life we're going to have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. We're so thankful. God, then in a world that tosses and turns us, God, you're able to stabilize when nothing else can. We worship you. We magnify you. I wonder if a few people anyway could just raise your hands and let go of what you're trying to hold on to. If you worry too much, it's because you're trying to control too much. I battle that. I know what that's like. You just need to give that thing to God. You need to allow God to move on that situation. You need to allow Him to do what He can do and only He can do. Father, we thank you, Lord, and praise you, God, because we know, Lord, that you hold tomorrow. We can't do anything about tomorrow. We can't control anything, but we know, God, that you're the one who can. And we're so thankful and grateful, God, for your presence that guides and provides and directs and leads. And even when we don't know the direction, God, we know that you do. We're so thankful for that. We glorify you. We magnify you, Father, and we put you above all. Great is your name, God, and greatly to be praised. God, we thank you and praise you. If you believe that this morning, give the Lord a hand clap of praise and appreciation. Listen, God's so good to us. He gives peace when nothing else can. Amen. Amen. We appreciate you being with us this morning and just trust that the Lord is going to speak through His Word. And you know, there's times in our lives where crisis sort of comes in and confronts us and we need to go to the Lord in prayer. But I'm also made to believe that there's nothing that can take the place of the Word of God. The Bible says He sent forth His Word and healed them. And if we'll live out His Word, if we'll just apply His Word, we'll have peace that passes all understanding. And we thank Him and appreciate Him for that. We're going to ask the ushers, if they would, to come and wait on you for your